You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
All right, here we go. 3 o'clock, President's Day edition of The Drive underway here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Good to have the whole team back together. Of course, Rick made it back Friday. Chance is back today. And the four horsemen ride again in the afternoons here in Knoxville. The boys looking good, Bear. They're looking good.
Yeah, they look
rested,
well
recovered.
Rested. What is it? Pestilence, famine, war, and death?
Yeah.
Very much rested.
You
good to
sound
be back.
Tons better.
Feel tons better.
I talked to Chance on the phone once last week.
Yeah? Sounded pretty rough?
Yeah.
Probably sounded like a...
like a lunger.
While I was dying. Like an old woman who... Yeah, like an old woman who had smoked like 500 packs of cigarettes. It was bad.
Nobody tried to pull the, I observe President's Day. Nobody's taking today off. Everybody's here today. That's good.
Would that even work with the four of us?
Well, the kids are out from school. In-service day. I just thought that was mean. Like, the kids get to be out, but the teachers have to go in. I guess they get their summers off. They can't complain. So we are back here at it this afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in. Beautiful day here in East Tennessee. And, boy, basketball team continues to struggle down the stretch. As Joe Namath once said, they're struggling. It was a rough day for Rick Barnes of the Basketball Vols on Saturday. You had another national anthem debacle last night, as it was this time Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas.
Complete disaster.
I didn't even know the Black Eyed Peas were. Are the Black Eyed Peas still around, or is it just her? Is she going solo now?
Well, I think that they might. They all kind of went solo. I think that they might get together for concerts here and there, but I think they pretty much
the money.
They all do solo projects.
Boy,
that's a shocker.
That was rough.
Fergie can't sing.
That was rough.
I don't think she can't sing. I think that just her delivery of she was trying to do like that Marilyn Monroe.
She outkicked her coverage.
Yeah,
she
did something.
Flew too
that,
close to the sun.
Not her style.
She was trying to pull a Marvin Gaye back in the day. It just
No. I think that she can sing. I think that she just tried to do that Santa Baby type of like cocktail.
I don't know if she could sing or not because I'm not familiar with her work. All I know is what I saw last night at the NBA All-Star game was a big old pile of dog crap.
I know
Have
that
you
there's
seen this pile of crap?
There's been you can find them. I know you can find them for Britney, and I'm pretty sure I've heard one of her too, like hot from the board before her vocal goes through like auto-tune and Pro Tools and everything else they do to it to make it, I don't know. I hate Pro Tools and I hate auto-tune, and I think that's what you find with a lot of these singers nowadays.
Yeah, it's like, you know you're live. You can't have Will.i.am or whoever go back and like edit auto-tune you. This is live. It's a microphone. What comes out of your mouth is what everybody else in the arena and everybody in the country who's watching the game last night is going to hear. And in this social media age, you're like, which we live in, because I wasn't watching last night. I'm just sitting there doing whatever I was doing last night, and all of a sudden, I'll go check out Twitter, and everybody is just trashing Fergie for her trash rendition of the national anthem.
And it's definitely on the Mount Rushmore.
The best part, of course, is the players trying not to grimace as it pans
like
around.
Draymond.
It's like, ugh, ugh, ugh. Go ahead and wrap it up here, Fergie.
What was worse, Fergie or what's his name, Kevin Hart?
Oh, his introduction.
I just heard about that. I heard
I didn't
that
see
was,
it either. I know
didn't
you were
land.
Probably watching.
Of course I was watching. It was a great game last night. I mean, there was like he did this introductions, and he kind of did like a comedy routine talking about each player when he introduced the starting lineups. It was kind of cringeworthy. I didn't think it was that bad, because I already think that Kevin Hart is cheesy. Like, I've already said that he got too big for his britches.
If Fergie hadn't totally bombed the anthem, would that be the story? It's like, oh, God, Kevin Hart, what a
– maybe coming on the heels
like
of the
Fergie
Super Bowl
took him off the hook.
Debacle.
Yeah, somewhat. It probably would have been some of the story because, like, you know, some of the players were, like, looking back at him when he was making the jokes at him, like, okay, okay, I got you. But, like, Kevin Hart's cheesy. Like, you know, he's at the point where he's at the Rock, and, hey, shout out to him for that. He's making a lot of money, but he just puts his name on everything, and at the point you get kind of overexposed, in my opinion.
Cashing those
hate,
checks.
Hate, yeah. hate.
He's not that
hate.
Funny, Bear. I'm sorry.
He's hilarious, man. I love Kevin Hart.
I actually got to plead ignorance on that one. I like him in the movie. I thought he was really funny in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a couple of other movies.
He was great in that movie with The Rock.
He's had good bits in. I really haven't seen his stand-up, which I probably need to go check out. I mean,
I saw him live at Thompson Bowl, and I told you about him and the plastic.
Is he raunchy?
No, I mean, I guess some parts of it, but not really. He's not really raunchy.
He didn't work blue.
I thought he was funny at one point until he's just doing too much now. Like, he's just not
overexposed.
Yes.
Too much. Too much Kevin Hart.
You think he's funnier than Cat?
No, I don't.
Lady Vols lose to yesterday, Daytona 500. A lot of sports over the weekend. Guy Bubba Wallace coming in second at Daytona, so maybe he could use that as a springboard. There's more people talking about the 500, and I did not watch that either. But it seems like more people talking about the 500 this year than there have been in a while. And that's weird that I didn't watch, because I used to – the Daytona 500 used to be like a
– it was it.
National holiday for me. Like, I would watch the whole thing.
At what point – what years were you, like, big time in the NASCAR?
Like the last decade, the two – what do we call it? The aughts. The aughts. Big in late 90s, 90s and the aughts. I liked it.
I mean,
it.
I watched most of it.
It seems like – there was a little bit more buzz around Daytona, a lot of new faces in there. You had the overtime ending and everything like that. So, things are cyclical, man. I don't think race car driving will ever completely fade away. But that's one of, you talk about Kevin Hart. He got too big. I think that's what happened to NASCAR. Got too big, man. They forgot their roots.
They started going the cookie cutter tracks.
I mean, there's no reason for 160,000 people at a race, but if you can get 100,000, like that.
Well, it's a sport that's much better on TV than it is live, unless you just want to go party your face off. And
I would actually say the opposite. It is much better live than it ever has been on TV. Yeah, for me, just I can't watch a race, but I'll go.
I guess
to
it
one.
Depends on where you go, right?
Yeah, I mean Bristol. I've never been to Talladega. Chance says it's a fantastic time.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's fun.
I've never been able to watch a race, though. Even like after going to Talladega, I never watch a race for more than a couple laps.
Well, I've never watched I've never been I want to go see a race at Kansas or Chicagoland.
Well, yeah,
or something
you
like
want to go to the big speedways
or the big ones or the small ones where you can see everything, like Bristol, and it's all right there in front of you.
I'd like to go to Martinsville.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
That looks like a good one, guys. I feel like we're just avoiding the inevitable here.
Well, I mean, what is there to say about it?
Well, I'm wondering. I asked on Saturday after the game, is it time to press the panic button yet?
No.
I don't think so. But everybody's going to say I'm a Barnes apologist, so I guess I'm biased. But I really don't. All right, yes, they look bad over those last couple games, but go back to Alabama. 3-6 since 2010. Georgia had beat you three times before. Georgia's starting to play better. They beat Florida. I just think that they ran into some teams. The league's getting better. They ran into some teams that weren't playing well at the beginning of the season but starting to play well at the end of the season. Auburn gets beat over the weekend by South Carolina. Vanderbilt beats
Florida.
Beats Florida, excuse me. Arkansas
they
won.
They beat the brakes off Texas A&M.
Yeah, and then
– all the home teams won. I mean, there's a lot of bad basketball this past week.
I think it's a little bit of both. Your league is getting better. There's a lot more parity in your league. But at the same time, some of these teams that were playing bad that are, media kind of middle-of-the-road teams starting to play a little bit better towards the end of the season.
I don't think it's time to press the panic button. I said that Saturday. But I also don't think you can sweep it under the rug anymore. I mean, this team obviously has some issues that it's dealing with, and it feels like they're kind of sputtering down the stretch. Now, we got two more weeks and a lot of winnable games left, and we got the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament, obviously, so there's a lot of basketball left to be played. But I don't think you could just say, to me, Saturday night, the Georgia game, in a weird way, to me, is more alarming than the Alabama game the week before. Because the Alabama game was just so bad. And I don't. It's really the only time this year that I felt like we didn't show up to play and we didn't have intensity and effort and the things that are required. I felt like we had that against South Carolina, and we still didn't play well, but just South Carolina wasn't good enough to beat us. And I felt like we had the intensity on Saturday night at Georgia. I felt like they came out fired up, ready to play, hustling, getting after it. And the offensively in particular, there's just – it's a broken record, man. When are these guards going to step up? And when Grant's not playing well, then all of a sudden you got major problems. I mean, we played
– then they're just firing three. Ball after three ball, it seems like.
I mean, we held them to 28 points in the first half, but we give up 45 in the second. Man, you're not going to beat many teams giving up 45 points in a half. So that's something to look at. It feels like they killed us on second chance points. You had you knew Mayton was going to have a good game. He didn't kill you. He had 19-5. But you let the Beatty guy come in off the bench. I'd never heard of him, and he absolutely destroyed us. Had a double-double, 16-11. And
how do you say Ogbede?
His name is Ogbede.
Ogbede?
Ogbede.
So it was just
– well, now, what – Mayton didn't have that – I mean, he had 19 – Mayton dominated that game.
No, he had 19 points. You know, it was a good game.
Yeah, it's bigger than the points. I mean, he – how many – he had, what, 5 rebounds?
Yeah.
How many blocks?
One.
It seemed like he had a lot bigger game than that.
I mean, he had a pretty big first half. He was predominant their score, but like Rosa Ogbede killed you, second chance points. And, you know, you talk about they started shooting a lot of threes, but in the second half they were hitting those threes. That's what kept them in the game. I mean, they were actually hitting the shots. I think it's more of like what we've been saying. Grant Williams, if he's not on, he kind of controls the tempo for this team.
It's perplexing, man. And Rick Barnes spoke with the media. We'll give you some of the highlights from that coming up here in just a little bit. But what do you think about it? Are you pressing the panic button? 865-546-8200, your number to get on the drive this afternoon. 546-8200. Want to give a shout-out to our friends over at D&D Heating and Air Conditioning. It's warming up this week. Is your heating and air conditioning unit functioning properly? Spring is coming up. Have your unit inspected for free. Our friends at D&D Heating and Air Conditioning, you can call today to set up a free inspection of your HVAC unit. Call 865-299-1452. That's 299-1452. Or visit HVACCompanyKnoxville.com. D&D Heating and Air Conditioning, servicing Knoxville and the surrounding areas. Again, call 865-299-1452 or visit HVACCompanyKnoxville.com. Great locally owned and operated business. My guy Danny's going to treat you right. You know, most of these big companies, you're just another account to them. They're going to charge you $60 just to pull their van in the driveway. Even if nothing's wrong, not the folks at D&D. They're going to treat you right. Again, HVACCompanyKnoxville.com. Call today to set up your free inspection, 865-299-1452. All right, we're going to take a quick break right here. We'll come back and get more into this basketball stuff. We've got the new bracketology out, a couple of other things to go over here this afternoon on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
The Drive, tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. The Twitter machine's not working. It's not doing exactly what I want it to. That's frustrating. All right, back here on The Drive, Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question this afternoon. How worried are you about Tennessee basketball losing two of its last three? And if we're being quite honest, not exactly looking like world beaters in the one win against South Carolina. Are you A, very worried, B, a little worried, or C, not worried at all? 865-546-8200. 0-0. Let's see how panicked Vol Nation is. Go around the room here. Chance, so are you a little worried or not worried at all?
I'm not worried at all. Okay. And I was having a conversation with somebody on Twitter about this today. I really won't be worried until I just see a complete collapse, like, say, you know, next couple games and going. And if they collapse during the tournament, if you get to SEC tournament and you're probably a one and done, that's not ideal, especially if you're one of the top two seeds. Then I'll start to hit the panic button because you don't want
to limp into the tournament, do you?
No. Well, that's true, and I don't want them to lose their seeding. I think you have to start talking about where you're seated at. Then you start being one of those, you know, higher seeds. That's not going to be ideal for this team. I think they want to stay in that range of the 2-4. Probably going to be locked at a 4 seed right now or so, 3 or 4. But I think that's where they need to stay as well for the competition that they would have to play. So that's when I'm going to start to panic, because I do think that they should be able at least to win one game in the SEC tournament, and I really believe they should be able to win at least two. So that's for me. I'm not panicking yet. They've won 10 of their last 13 games. I know they've looked bad in the last two of the four losses, but 10 of 13 is still pretty good.
Bear, what say you?
Man, I don't know. I'm just real worried. They look like they're gassed.
You sound like you're worried.
You sound pretty concerned. Yeah.
I've got some concerns.
It's okay, man. So do I.
I don't want them to waste all this hard work that these guys have put in all year. I know Barnes said that there's nothing wrong with Grant, but do you think there might be?
Oh, I think he looks banged up.
I think he's just tired, man.
Yeah.
Me and Houston were talking about this, and you say gas. And I think that's a good explanation. I think this team is tired. They played a tough schedule. I think Grant Williams is just gas because – now the tape is out on him. People, they're giving him – they're not saying, all right, we got to try and stop Grant Williams. Teams are double-teaming him pretty much the entire game, you know, trying to – you know, they're sealing him off from getting the ball. They're banging him hard now. And he is the prime scorer on this team, and I think he's just – he's a little tired because the weight of the team has been on his back. If he's not playing well, the team doesn't do well, and teams are finally locking in on him. They're taking away – our best asset, and they got to find a way to get the other guys going.
Rick Barnes walked an interesting tightrope today at his weekly press conference, kind of between coming at Grant Williams and challenging him, says he needs to shut up and play, says he's talking to the refs too much, he's making excuses. Yeah, the book's out on you. Welcome to big boy basketball. You're a good player. Good players rise above that. They play well anyway. But also saying Grant is only 18 years old. He's an 18-year-old freshman, what? So he's very young and is still in the process of developing and stuff like that. So, you know, some of the patented Barnes tough love, but also saying, you know, get over it. If you're a great player, and we certainly all think he is, and we're going to challenge you to be a great player, then you've got to, you know, shut up. Quit whining about getting fouled all the time. Quit whining about the double. Like, if it's not there, then you kick out. That's one thing, but – you know, he said he's settling for too many faraway shots instead of just pounding it inside and driving. It was interesting. Barnes also today said was asked what the team needs to do to get better. He said they need to make more shots. Said they need to make more shots. Simple as that. Maybe oversimplifying things a little bit. Said they also need to limit the unforced turnovers. I thought it was interesting because a week ago, Barnes was asked about Grant Williams being hurt, and he was kind of like, yeah, he is a little bit banged up. Apparently, there's something going on with his hip and maybe a shoulder injury too, but he was like, everybody's banged up at this time of year. You just got to play through it. Today, he was like, he didn't seem to make too big a deal of it. So it was kind of an interesting, I thought, story there, the way Barnes is – both challenging and trying to handle him with kid gloves since he is a young player a little bit. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. How worried are you about Tennessee's recent basketball struggles? Very early, 1% of the precincts reporting 65% of Twitter respondents say they are a little worried. 24% saying very worried, and just 11% saying not worried at all. So Tennessee fans, I think, a little worried. Not many people. I mean, that's you know, only 1 out of 10 fans saying they're not worried at all. I mean, I think we all realize that.
I mean, there are definitely some concerns.
We're in a bit of a funk here.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not pressing the panic button right now, but man, this game Wednesday night against Florida is huge. It's absolutely huge. Yeah, I mean, it's you just got to have it.
You're playing like garbage.
Yeah, they've lost two in a row. So
I didn't see any of the highlights, but I heard that Vanderbilt was unconscious from the three in the second half of that one. Or they just shot lights out.
They did. That was what you know helped propel them to win. They shot really well. I mean they played better.
Yeah, but look at Auburn now. I mean they're crippled.
Had a little bit of that Memorial Magic latest bracketology. Joe Lunardi has the Vols as a 4 seed still. So Tennessee drops one spot in the AP poll to 19 today. Lunardi still has us a 4 seed against Buffalo in Boise. If we get by Buffalo, we would play Michigan, Loyola. Xavier is the 1 seed on this side of the bracket. I mean, that's pretty manageable. They send you out to Boise. I mean, that's a long way away, but I like playing Buffalo better than I like playing ETSU or Belmont or some of the other projections that we've seen. And I sure as heck like playing Xavier better than I would like playing Virginia or Villanova.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want them to drop lower than this 4 seed. You want them to stay in that bracket that where they're projected at. That's where you would like to. So, yeah, the guys, I mean, they got to wake up. Another reason why I'm not really panicking, because I feel like every time – that it seems that the fan base has started to, you know, get a little nervous and start to, you know, call for Barnes's head, the team answers. They continue to answer. And, like, you know, they've had, like, spots, but then they come back and they answer and they win two or three in a row. So
I'll tell you who I feel like's disappeared more than I haven't seen a whole lot out of him during this stretch is Admiral. He's been real quiet. I mean, he hasn't been playing bad per se, but – I guess at this point in the season, I'm kind of expecting Admiral to step up.
I think he's been pretty consistent as far as where he's played. And he's had his games where, you know, he's been lights out, but he's kind of just been, like, right there in the middle. He's been the second, you know, leading scorer generally most games. I think he's been.
Well, you talk about banged up. I mean, he's clearly dealing with
he's been
the shoulder
hurt,
all year
sure,
long. You saw Saturday night, like, in the first half, he took a really hard fall on that. And I don't think he was the same player after that going forward. So hopefully we always get up for Florida. Every time they come in here, it seems like that is a huge game. I wonder what the attendance is going to be like 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night. I hope fans will just go ahead and suck it up. Call in sick the next day, man. Do what you got to do, because this is go time. I mean, it's now or never, and you got to peak. We've been talking about this all year, right? Peaking at the right time. And the worry from a lot of people was, this is what Barnes has done. Going back to his days at Texas, is they kind of fade down the stretch and don't do anything in March. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit worried about that. But what Chance said is correct, too. Like, it seems like every time we've questioned this team, every time they've responded. They're whenever their back is up against the wall, they usually come out guns a-blazing. Right now, Florida at home – at Ole Miss, they've lost 7 in a row. I mean, that's a – man, if you could win these next two, that would be huge. I do not expect to win in Starkville next week. They've lost 1 game at home all season, just quietly had a – that has been a difficult place to play. And then Georgia at home, oh, man, I want that one badly. Like, you want to beat your rival Florida at home and everything. I don't know, after losing to Georgia again and now that they've beat us – 5-6 times in a row, whatever it's up to now, that might be the one I want the most of these last four, is Georgia at home. Rick Barnes hasn't beaten Mark Fox. How is that possible? Mark Fox is a terrible coach, in my opinion.
I'd like to see us pound their eyes shut, though.
Got to win that one. And I mean, just you, if you lost to Georgia at home going into the tournament, talk about just sputtering into the NCAA tournament. That would be a rough way to go in. Speaking of the SEC tournament, Rick Barnes today said, you know, you look at it, every team in the league has a realistic chance to win that tournament. Now, I don't know if that's 100% accurate. It's more accurate than it's ever been. If Vanderbilt and Ole Miss are the two worst teams in the league, you would be shocked if either of those teams won the tournament. But, you know, like last year, I think Missouri and Auburn were all-time bad. They're they were worse than Vanderbilt and Ole Miss are this year. I think we would all agree on that. I am watching the seeding, man. Really hoping Tennessee can stay where they're at and finish second in the league. I think we have to win at least three of these last four to do that. Selfishly, this really is important to me because if we finish second, of course, you get the double bye. We would play Friday in the SEC tournament, Friday night, a 7 o'clock tip, which is obviously good for the show.
Absolutely.
If we're not winning the league. I think we all agree there. If we stumble here and lose two of the next four or three and finish fourth in the league, we still get the double bye, but we tip off at 3 o'clock on the Friday, which is going to be brutal because we have to do the show. We've got remote scheduled at National RX. We have to be on the air, and you're all going to be watching the game. So
yeah.
I don't know what we would do in that situation. We'd find something to do for you guys, but oh my God, please don't finish fourth, Rick Barnes. Please win a couple of these games down the stretch. Finish second and get that. I won't finish third either. Third would be better than fourth, obviously, not just because it means you won more, but the three seed plays at 9. And that's always brutal, man. You never want to play at 9 in those 9 o'clock games. It's just, I guess it beats playing at 9 on the, you know, Wednesday and Thursday night. But even still, like, you win that game, you know, not say you win at 9 o'clock, game gets over around 11. You leave the arena an hour later. You get back to your hotel by 1 o'clock a.m. if you're lucky. If you're lucky. And then you turn around and play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. That's just,
no way those guys are going to sleep. I mean, you get back to the hotel at
once.
3 o'clock, maybe
break out the Lunesta. I don't know. What do you do? I mean,
you can't do anything like that. You wake up sluggish.
I know. It's just brutal. So I mean, this is important, man. Getting that 2 seed is important for the drive. Not going up against the drive on Friday night on a Friday afternoon. And being able to finish as high as you possibly can, because I don't think – I mean, does anybody think that Auburn is losing 3 times and we're winning out?
I don't know.
I don't see that happening.
I don't know, man. Who they lost?
I think
is it DeAnthony McLemore?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that anybody in this league can beat – all the teams can beat each other. I really do. I thought Auburn, hands down, then – you know, they came back, obviously, against South Carolina, and they were down a bunch in that game. It looked like they were going to pull it out and win it still. But I just think that there's so much parity in the league that they could.
Call me defeatist. I don't see us winning out. I don't see Auburn. I mean, they might. We'll see what happens. They play Alabama tomorrow, I think. So, and
that's a big rivalry.
Who knows
for them.
What's going on in this league right now? I mean, if you had told, I was convinced that Alabama was going to go in there and tear Kentucky's kingdom down, Titansville, on Saturday. And they just completely crapped the bed. I watched the end of that game, and it was just, oh, man, miserable. And now all of a sudden Kentucky. I mean, Cal's been saying, like, if we just win one, we can get some momentum. We'll see where they go.
Auburn has a tough stretch, Russell. Actually, when you look at them, they got Alabama. Then they play Florida. Then they play Arkansas, who just won big. And they have to finish off at South Carolina. I mean, not at South, but they play South Carolina at home. They have to play them again.
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely lose to Alabama and Arkansas. So it is a crazy end here to the SEC season, and Tennessee trying to pull some of that momentum back. What do you think? How worried are you? It's our Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Check out Rickard Ridge online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. We'll get to these phone calls coming up next right here on The Drive.
The Drive. It's all about the process. This is The Drive.
Drive is back here on Fox Sports Knoxville, coming to you live this afternoon from the Mountain View Chevy Studios. Taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Not a lot of excitement around Tennessee basketball. I'm still excited for the season. This is what happened on Saturday night after the game. We did basketball overtime, and that show has been going for like an hour and a half. And We did like our hour, got through it, and like nobody was calling. The phones, listening to the phones on Voluntary Reaction Saturday night, it's like the scene in the Wild Wild West, the tumbleweeds go.
Oh, yeah,
it's like everybody's that, like, bummed out. Nobody wants to talk. And so then we just opened it up and started talking about anything but the basketball game. And, I mean, we were all over the place. And then all of a sudden the phone started ringing, and we stayed on for another 2 hours, did 3 hours on Saturday night, me and Reed in here. And it was a lot of fun. But people are just – I don't know what it is about the basketball thing, but it's just not resonating with people right now. They're not – they were more into it early in the season as opposed to what they are now.
The team spoiled everyone. They did. Like, that's another comment I was having. I think
that pisses me off, man. I'm sorry. That pisses me off a little bit. The people get so spoiled. Like I said a couple weeks ago.
Me too.
I know. Like, if you don't have the stomach for this, like, come on, man. You thought we were going to go 35-0?
Yes. Thank you for
saying
that.
Like, this is basketball.
Oh,
we're going to lose some games, man.
Oh, my God.
Like, sack up, folks. Come on.
Oh, my God.
We got a good team.
Russell, you're speaking to me. No, that's how I felt when I was talking to people on Twitter this morning. I just, like, this is how basketball is. It's long season.
Man, we're not any good.
And also, even though we knew they weren't the 13th best team in the SEC, we knew they were a lot better. We didn't expect them to, you know, 26 games or something like that, or, you know, just to be undefeated through conference play. And if you did, like, that's because you were spoiled by how well they were playing. They were out kicking their coverage at first. I mean, they were.
I don't know. The Friday you guys were gone, me and Brandon convinced ourselves.
Y'all
that
did.
We were going to a number one seed.
Y'all
well,
did.
And here's like, here's the thing. What did we, was it 5 or 6 in a row that we had won?
Seven.
It wasn't against the best competition in the world. Right?
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean it wasn't a significant achievement. You win 6 in a row in your conference. That's.
Yeah.
That hey man, that's great. This is a good league this year. But there weren't a lot of upper echelon teams in that run that you were putting down. We still got room for improvement. Got to figure some things out, but
room for improvement's not too late. And I mean, just basically what you're saying. Like I agree with everything you're saying. Cause I think that you know we try to tell ourselves, don't get too excited, but because we know these guys are playing a little bit better than probably what they should be playing. I mean, looking back now, they beat Purdue. I don't think this team could beat Purdue if they had to play them today. I mean, I think that's an easy statement to make, but like they played better.
But they might beat North Carolina.
Exactly.
So you don't know. I had an interesting exchange with Jordan McRae on Twitter earlier today.
He's coming in town for the game.
Yeah, he said me and Josh Richardson are going to be in Wednesday night for the Florida game. And I quote tweeted him, say, y'all got any eligibility left? And he responded, we don't need any. This team is great. I think that it is a good team. But, man, be nice. I'm just saying, if we could have Jordy Mack and Jay Rich suit up.
I think if you just gave us Jay Rich.
15, 20 minutes each.
NBA champion Jordy Mack.
I mean, we need guard play. We need guard play. I'm sure those guys love beating the Gators. So it would be nice to see them
CJ Watson
step out for you know, just 5 minutes each, 5-10 minutes each. I mean, that should do it, right?
That's all you need.
That would get it done.
Bobby Mays would have 5 on it. We'd get him for 5.
I hope people will come out. Hey,
people. Sorry.
We've got Red Panda in town Wednesday.
Yeah, Bear.
Red Panda.
You owe her apology.
I owe her nothing
She got a new one.
Fat Florida grapefruit.
Well, you don't go to games anyway. This is for people who actually go to games. Did she ever get her original unicycle that was stolen back?
No,
I don't think that
gave her another.
Yeah, I don't think she ever got the original back.
What are you doing with Red Panda's unicycle?
Like, seriously, you can't just like go sell that to anyone. Like, what are you going to do with it?
So if I rolled up here on the Red Panda unicycle, would you guys turn me in?
Hell yes.
Yeah, man, that's Red Panda. I'm sorry.
They offered an award. Like, you could have – how much was it?
It was like $2,500 reward, like no questions asked or something, I think is what it
said.
Yeah,
just say, like, here it is.
Do we really believe there'd be no questions asked?
I don't know.
I think she really wanted it back.
I guess so, man. I might call my lawyer first before I return it. I'm just saying. But what are you going to do with Red Panda's unicycle, man? That's – man, this – how sick is that? How sick is that?
It's not like you could ever go riding around on it.
Coming up, I'm going to get back to this Fergie anthem debate. Why was it so bad? What actually?
So did you never go back and watch it, though?
Oh, yeah. I watched it.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it was just bad.
Watched it a couple of times.
Because she tried to do, like, you know, like a 1920s cocktail I'm singing to to President Kennedy or the, like, Santa baby. That's, like, what she did. Like, you can't try to make the Star Spangled Banner sexy. Like, just do it. Play the hits. Play it, you know, sing it the right way.
Yeah. Let's get Phil in here next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
My W.
What's up, Philly?
Hey, good to see the Chancellor back in the saddle.
Thanks, Philly. Feel much better.
How's Barry doing?
Fair to Midland.
Well, yeah, after watching the Big George V, it's what, 8 out of 9? It's kind of perplexing, isn't it?
What's going on with this team right now, Phil? Was it fool's gold early in the season, or are they just tired and hitting a wall?
I don't know what it is, but people have figured it out, how to slow us down offensively, and we can't hit threes, and even though people are giving us wide-open threes. Everybody says we are shooting too many of them. Maybe we are, yeah. But if somebody's giving you wide-open threes, you got to shoot them, and they got to go in. So you got to hit at least 25, 30% of them.
And it seems like we do that at home. Every road team lost in the SEC on Saturday, all of them. They were 0 for 7 on the road. Saturday. So here's what I'm saying. Like, if we lose to Florida at home, and the guards are a perfect example, like, those guys, no doubt about it, shoot it better, particularly from three at home. If we lose at home to Florida, I'm pressing that big red panic button, man. I'll be right there with the rest of y'all, pulling my hair out, going crazy.
I agree, because really, Florida's playing worse than we are right now.
They're not that good, Phil.
Yeah, I agree with you. The thing is, though, Schofield and Grant Williams, you can't afford both of them not show up on the night. I mean, neither one of them did anything Saturday. Nothing.
Those are supposed to be your leaders.
So do you guys, you know, I've heard you, Bear said it, now Phil said it, and it seemed like Russell was kind of, you think they're shooting too many threes because of the talent on the roster? Like, they don't have guys that, so they shouldn't be shooting that many? Or just, they're just shooting way too many and
I just don't think they're getting the same kind of – there's a difference to me between a defense just slacking off and letting you shoot threes and us running our offense and running it through Grant and going inside out and getting a defense back on
because
its
heels. Because as far as three-point attempts, they're in the bottom five of the conference. They have –
They
know.
Just aren't – they aren't falling as much as they were at a different point in the season, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think they take too many, but Barnes was kind of saying this. He said that, like, shot selection – leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Are you talking about shot selection, or are you just saying that you don't want to see them shoot that many threes? Because they're bottom five as far as attempts go. And then as far as makes, they're in the top 10. They're top 7. They're right the 7th spot.
So they're shooting a decent percentage, but I don't know, man.
It's just when and where they shoot them. Is that shot selection? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, shot selection. Yeah.
Well, if it went for a 3-point shot, we wouldn't even been in that game Saturday.
Exactly. That's why I said the second half, they that's what kept them in the game. And then another stat for you guys, as far as 3-point percentage made, Tennessee's number 3 in the conference, only behind Arkansas and Missouri.
But it was weird because it felt like there were a couple times where it looked like they were about to run us out of the gym. And we get down 8 or 10 points. And then we would hit a 3 or 2. And we get it back down to 2 points or 1 point. And it's several times where we had open threes and they won't fall. It's like we can only make the 3-pointer when we're down and the other team is taking their foot off the gas a little bit.
I would probably argue more is just that I don't think they're shooting too many. I think they're hitting a lot, obviously, because they're third in the league as far as percentage. But it's kind of what Russ was saying. You're not hitting them consistently enough when you need them.
Quality, not quantity.
Yeah, we're not going to the foul line enough, especially on the road. True. Of course, that's usually an indicative of playing on the road. You don't get as many foul shots. I think Georgia shot, 20 more foul shots than we did Saturday?
23, yeah. I mean, it's
the officiating around the country, I don't think it's ever been this atrocious.
Well, it is bad, but we've had some favorable whistles ourselves this year. So
I would agree with that.
It all evens out in the wash, and that's not the reason we lost the game.
It's not like we got
We got pounded on the board. So
well,
it was
27.
Their offensive rebounding.
It was 27 team fouls to Georgia's 15.
We didn't get rooked like West Virginia did the other night. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was bad.
Guys, I think part of the problem is we were playing better when we were playing more players. I know y'all want to tighten the rotation, this, that, and the other, but if you're tightening the rotation, those guys are still producing, you need to go back to playing more players. I think we played better when we were playing 10, 11 players.
I kind of give you that. I kind of do. I did like the platoon rotation that they were doing, a la what Kentucky did a couple years back when they could rotate 10 to 11 guys. Derek Walker hadn't seen as much of him. But
yeah, how come Fulkerson's getting Walker's minutes? It don't make no sense to me.
Trying to get Fulky hot. That's the guy.
He's getting hot this year.
I don't have an answer for you, Phil.
He's getting abused, though.
I'm not saying that it's the right move.
He needs to get in the weight room.
I just think that he's Rick Barnes' darling. I think he's trying to get him hot. He feels bad the way the season went last year. Trying to get him back to where he was, and the only way to do that is try to give him the minutes to get his confidence.
Phil, you remember that Aerosmith song, Ragdoll?
Yeah.
Off the Pump album? That's what Fulkerson is right now. He's the rag doll, man. Get tossed around all day.
He has been.
Yeah, and poor old Grant Williams is getting beat to death, and they won't call anything. But, you look at it, we still don't have a point guard. I mean, I like Bone. Bone's really an off-guard, a combo guard. We need a true point guard bad, and it'd take care of all our problems. Regardless, I know we need another guy inside, but you can get by without if you have a good point guard.
I know Bone is miserable shooting the basketball right now, but doesn't he lead the league in assist-to-turnover ratio?
Yeah, he had, what, 7 assists, no turnover Saturday, and he played half the game. So stats are out of whack somehow. I mean, and Daniel, he's getting worse as the year goes on. I mean, I hate to say that, but they need to just put him at shooting guard and let him shoot. Let Lamonte play his minutes at the point. Mm. I don't know who else you can put in there. I think y'all put the Jalen Johnson at the threesome, and we need to try to get some athleticism at that position because Schofield is not living up to his billings this year.
I think he's, like the guy said earlier, he's hurt.
Well, if he's hurt, put Jalen Johnson in.
He's not injured, though.
That's the thing, man. I'm looking at these, you say, okay, we need to go deeper into the bench. Like, you play to 10 guys, okay, you could bring Johnson off the bench. You could play Darrington more. Like, that's not doing much for me. I don't know if those guys are the answer. But then again, I don't know that Fulkerson, Walker, Pons are the answer either. So, Rick Barnes is making the big bucks.
Well, I know what the answer is. Jamie will tell you. Five stars.
We got to – I don't know. They got to figure something else because they don't have a five-star to add to the mix this year. Anyway, we'll see what happens next year. 865-546-8200. The Drive continues. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Bill on Twitter says, little known Aerosmith useless trivia. The concert footage for the Ragdoll video was shot in Freedom Hall, Johnson City. Said he was there that night.
I've been to been to several shows. That's a really cool place to see a show.
I remember that when Pump came out, because that was when I was pretty young, but first started watching MTV and saw those videos and everything, thinking, all right, Aerosmith, I don't get the deal. But little did I know, that was their cleanup 80s sellout.
Yeah, I didn't really
phase.
Care for a whole lot of that stuff.
Much better back when, the 70s when they were on heroin and whatnot.
Well, let's see, I didn't miss much. You guys still doing that music stop thing.
We didn't do it a whole lot last week.
Not too much.
Yeah, I guess we did, and then it went on
y'all did
too
on
long.
Y'all did on Valentine's Day.
We did.
I believe y'all started talking. Y'all went down a rabbit hole.
Which one?
We can go back down. It's kind of
hazy
for me.
If you want to join us, we'll take y'all down the hole, Chance.
I mean, at one point, we couldn't figure out why you didn't call in.
That was the sickest day for me, was Wednesday and Thursday.
And you're like, oh, no, they're doing a deep dive on Jethro Tull's greatest hits. This sucks.
I was listening to you guys, but, like, yeah, I was in the bed sweating, trying to sweat it out, man. Hmm.
Who is the guy you got triggered about me making fun of on Twitter last night? The NASCAR driver, a big fat guy who got out and started.
Oh, Brendan Gaughan.
Who?
Brendan Gaughan.
I don't even know who that is.
Who is that? Yeah, I don't either.
He's a journeyman NASCAR driver. It's the big thing that I always remember about him is he played basketball at Georgetown.
Oh, cool.
And he walked on the football.
How do you
team.
Go from being a basketball player?
Yeah, that's very odd.
Like in college to NASCAR.
I don't know. Ask Brad Daugherty. Probably grew up in North Carolina would be my guess.
Daugherty didn't, but he didn't become a NASCAR. He became an analyst, right?
You can't. He was a fan, owner. and when he got money, that's different.
He'll tell you in interviews if he wasn't 7 feet tall and he could fit in a car, he would have been a driver. He's in North Carolina. That's what he called.
But
himself.
Also, you know what he did? He was in NASCAR for a long time, and he went back to basketball and being a basketball analyst.
Okay, better athletes, NASCAR drivers, or losers?
Losers.
Not losers, losers, the guys on the sled.
Without a doubt, the luge people. You don't see too many fat guys doing the luge.
Yeah, I'll say the luge for sure. What would have been a good one probably would have been NASCAR or golfers. But I think golfers are athletes anyways.
I think there are some NASCAR drivers that are.
But then you have guys like John athletes. Daly, so.
I think NASCAR drivers and golfers are equally mildly athletic.
Yeah, because then you got guys like John Daly out there just, drink, smoke cigars.
It's tough.
You got guys like Jimmy Johnson that put in like 250, 300 miles a week on a bicycle.
Well, yeah, it's no easy task to drive 500 laps or 500 miles, whatever it is, week in, week out. Just like it's no easy task to walk 18 holes 4 days in a row in the hot Florida sun. You can't just be a slob and do that stuff. But let's not put these guys on the same plane as professional basketball, football, or even baseball players.
No, but the guys that are really good athletes seem to win more races than the guys that aren't.
All right, hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.